Welcome to the St. Martin's Challenge podcast, where we give a voice to the most vulnerable in our society, hosted by me, Lewis Owens.
And me, Savraj Kaur.
Welcome, everyone. Really pleased to be joined today by Wendy Tobin. Wendy is an artist residing in Boston, Massachusetts, and a trained special education advocate. Wendy, it's great to have you on. Thanks so much for coming.
Sure. I'm very, very excited to be asked.
Great. Fantastic. Well, I mentioned two strands of your work, which is art and special education. And the inspiration for both of these comes from your amazing daughter, Samira. Tell us more about her. Tell us more about Samira.
Samira just turned 18. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what sparked me to add her Twitter page, you know, so that we could make people aware. And people that have been following me have already kind of known who she has been for at least, I would say, 3 years. Samira is a fun-loving kid that, you know, it's so hard to describe her because it's so much easier just to be with her in order to describe it, because she draws people in by her personality. And even if she's really having a hard time, people still love her. And she's so small. So I think part of that is part of it, because she's such a peanut. And, you know, like, she does this plopping thing if she doesn't want to move, and she'll just plop on the floor or wherever she is, which at times has been very dangerous because she's done it in the middle of the street before. Yeah. And then you have to try to lift her up when she doesn't want to get up. But
just for the context of our listeners, Wendy, Samira was born with Down syndrome.
Samira was born with Down syndrome, formerly known as Trisomy 21.
Okay, and she's just turned 18, as you say. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about how the Down syndrome works with her in an everyday capacity. How does it affect her? What's her personality like?
Her personality is very fun loving. She seems happy all the time. She's very playful, very, very animated. She has so many expressions. And I don't know, she's just really fun to be with all the time. And if you're animated with her, if you can really interact with her, and if you love her, she can tell. And she will react to that in such a positive way.
Yeah. And does she feel that she's different? Because we see the incredible photos of her on Twitter, and she's such a joy. I saw one, I think, yesterday or the day before, and she was on the treadmill, putting us all to shame, or certainly putting me to shame. Does she feel that she's different? Does she feel that she's special?
Definitely, Samira, once she hit puberty, there was a change, and she started regressing, because I do believe she does see that she's different. I think the main part of that is because she realized that she can't talk like everyone else can. She's never really learned how to use the language, or any language, really. She uses an iPad, but even that, we have to help prompt her. There's times when she's sick or she doesn't feel well, or she's hurting, where she can actually do it on her own on the iPad. But verbally, she usually just mimics. So yeah, she does realize she's different. And that has had a very negative impact on her in the past. But I think we're trying to turn that corner now.
Great. And tell us a little bit more, or a lot more, about her painting. Because I know she paints and she's incredibly talented. Is that a way for her to express her feelings, her emotions? Because as you say, she mimics verbally. So the painting is a way for her to express how she feels. Tell us more about that, Wendy, what her inspiration is, and how that works.
Yeah, definitely. I think she does use her paintings to communicate to people and get frustration out, definitely. I think it's different when I'm with her because I'm her mother, and sometimes it can be frustrating for her just because I'm her mom. But I've seen other things that she's done when she's with other people, particularly the school. You can actually make images out, even though I don't know that that's her intention. The last piece that you probably saw with my hummingbirds on them, is that the one you're referring to?
That's right. Yeah.
So that was our first piece together. And someone that I follow on Twitter and that follows me back, I've known her for almost 4 years. And she's an amazing advocate and voice for just human beings and certain causes. I actually came up with that idea. She's the one that inspired it. And I won't reveal who she is. She will know when she hears me say this. Mm. She's the one that inspired me to put the hummingbirds on this piece. And I think that it just works so beautifully, this particular one, with what Samira did. And I'm not finished yet, but when I am, I will post it so you can see.
Please do. How many paintings has Samira done in total?
That's hard to know because the school has most of them, only because that's where most of her art is.
Mm.
So there's probably at least 50 of them. Some of them she's actually sold, and I'll show you. I know that the viewers can't see, but this
is one of the downsides of the podcast, is that the listeners can't see the incredible images I'm seeing, but we'll have to post some on Twitter, Wendy.
Yeah, this one right here. That's one that she did also.
Okay.
So tell
us about her daily routine, because she's at a... She's at a special school, is she? What's her routine at school like?
So over a year ago, Samira was placed in what we call a therapeutic residential home. And so she does not live at home anymore. Mm. And the reason for that was because I had to take my elderly mother in, that which has passed already. And Samira had a very difficult time with that. And she expressed that she did not want to stay home anymore.
How was that for you? That must have been tough for you.
Very traumatic.
Mm.
Extremely.
Take your time, Wendy. It's fine.
I think I'm still trying to accept that she had to leave.
Mm.
It wasn't something that I was ready to do, but it was clear it was time for her. So I had to let her go.
Is that also somewhat reassuring though, Wendy, that she does feel the need for independence and that she does want to, to be in charge of her own life as much as she can? That must be somewhat reassuring for you as a mother.
Oh, definitely. That's the reason why I had to let her go. I had to let her find her own way. I monitor and I'm on top of everyone to make sure that she's safe. And, she is quite far away from my home. She's about an hour. So that makes it a little bit more difficult, especially since the COVID. But her daily routine is very structured. And as you can see, they take really good care of her. I mean, her physique is not a typical, it's not that of a typical person with Down syndrome. Usually they're on the heavier side. That's just a trait. But I think that this residential is done very well with her.
What's the name of the school, Wendy?
It's called Cardinal Cushing Centers.
Okay, good. Well, it sounds like they're doing a wonderful job.
Yeah. And it's actually nationally known. There's many students that are there from other states in the United States.
Okay, and it's a school specially for people with Down syndrome.
Not just Down syndrome, all kinds of disabilities.
Okay. Do you feel there's sufficient awareness and support in the US for people with Down syndrome? I was doing some research before this, and it's always hard to get accurate statistics, and you never know which ones to believe. But certainly in the UK, it's reported that around one in every 1,000 babies born in the UK will have Down syndrome, which is approximately about 40,000 in total. In the US, the statistics are less clear. Do you have any feeling of what the statistics are, and do you feel there is sufficient support out there?
In comparison with other countries, I'm not sure of, but as an advocate, I've learned a lot of things. Like, there's certain states that really try very, very hard to make sure that there's proper funding, there's proper services for these people that need the extra supports. But not all states abide by that. So it's like every state is different. And sometimes even within the same state, there's less services depending on the town and the community that they live in, mainly probably because of funding. So
Sure.
it's really hard to say overall whether we have better supports than other countries do, but definitely it's not a thing that's across the board the same. It's
Sure.
definitely, so I live in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts is one of the best places to live if you have a child with especially Down syndrome, but even kids with autism as well and other intellectual disabilities. Just because we have such a strong advocacy here. And these are all parents and they're attorneys and they're teachers. And they have, you know, we've always just been a very, very strong advocate for people with disabilities.
Sure. You've been an advocate, I believe, for around 17 years.
Almost 17 years.
Almost 17 years. Fantastic. Tell us a little bit more about that and the training you went through and how that currently works now, what you do to help other families.
Sure, all of mine is purely education based. And it basically started when I had finished my first degree as a paralegal. And it actually opened up doors for me to do volunteer work. So the very first thing I did was wanting to, this was when Samir was very young, and I was learning about how to take care of her myself. So she has always been in school since she was 3 years old. So that is exactly what I went into, was doing specialty work for kids with IEPs, which is considered the Individual Education Plan in the United States. And that gives supports to children that not only have significant disabilities like Samira, but even kids with ADHD, you know, any kind of learning disability. And I know that a lot of people that don't quite understand things like Down syndrome, they relate that to a learning disability, but it's far more than that.
Sure.
Most of the kids that I advocate for outside of my own are kids with learning disabilities, and I'm actually a state-appointed advocate, and all that I do is voluntary. And as far as I know, I was told that I'm the longest standing volunteer in Massachusetts.
Fantastic. Well, that's great, and hopefully a few more years as well that you'll be doing this, because it sounds like you're doing an incredible job, and the support is so important, isn't it, Wendy? Because I know that parents and families, when they have children that have challenging needs or are neurodiverse, it can be a struggle. We had a podcast earlier with Caro Tasker and Simon Baron Cohen talking about neurodiversity, and you mentioned autism earlier, which is again another challenging predicament for many families to be in. So the fact that you're helping these families in Your voluntary way, Wendy, is fantastic. Let's go back to Samira's paintings, because they are wonderful, and every time that there's one of her paintings put on Twitter, they're so rich. How can people view them? Is there a website? Can people purchase them? Tell us more about that.
So the one that everyone has seen so far, because that's the only one that I've posted with her and I so far, I didn't intend on selling that, but I did get someone that DM'd me about 2 weeks after I posted it. And this is somebody that I've been in contact with. And she said, is that for sale? Because she supports Samira. She's actually sent her money, and she actually donated for a bike for Samira that we're waiting for. It's an adaptive bike. So I said, sure, I'll sell it to you. I don't mind selling it. And this will go into a trust for Samira. So we will open up a trust because of this, and or this will be the start of the trust. So if someone wants to purchase them in the near future, I can put them on my Etsy page. And we will start with that, which most people can see from my bio. And I can actually put that on Samira's bio as well.
Fantastic. It looks like Samira's getting more.
I also have a website.
Samira's getting more and more Twitter followers by the day, it seems. She's
oh my goodness,
popular young lady.
Yeah, she's getting, if I post something, she's getting on average between 400 and 500 new followers a day.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. And she's aware of this, I assume?
She's been told. How much she's aware, I don't really. I can't tell you.
It's hard to know. What are your hopes for the future for Samira? Do you take it month by month, year by year? Do you have a set plan in mind? What's her next support structure after she leaves this current school?
So these kids, if they're put in a residential, they typically stay there until they're 22. And then if they still stay out of their own home, they would go into a residential for adults, and the whole system changes. So they'll have less supports, unfortunately, and things like that. The structure is completely different. And to be honest with you, it really will vary depending on where she's placed. So it's really hard to say, you know, because it's like nursing homes. You place one person in one nursing home, they may have a completely opposite experience than someone else.
Sure.
But people are very, very aware of who I am in Massachusetts, and they know where I stand. So yeah. I made that known from the very beginning, because that way I feel, and I don't really like coming off that way, but this is my child, and I want people to know before she gets harmed, not after, that I will be watching. And it's sad we have to do that, but it's that there's just too many cases where it happens too often.
Samira
can't advocate for herself. She can't tell me that something's happening.
How do you communicate? Obviously now she's at school and it's an hour away from you. Do you Zoom? Do you Skype? How do you keep in touch?
So we regularly FaceTime when I can't be with her, about once a week. And then I go see her once a week as well. It's mainly because I would love to do it more often. One is because I'm too far away. The other reason is because she's in a school setting. I can't interrupt that. And she literally is in the school setting for 7 days a week. And, you know, they do have breaks, but they keep them so busy. And these kids require that.
Sure. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, Wendy, because I know you're an artist too. Tell us more about when you started painting and some of your projects.
Oh, sure. My work started originally about 3 or 4 years ago. I started off as a woodworker, and then I started doing pyrography, which you saw on my wall. And then it just, when the COVID hit, I started doing a lot of birds and cherry blossoms. Cherry blossoms are really my favorite tree because they're so beautiful, especially after a long winter and you're just waiting for something happy, to happen. So
it's a sign of hope, isn't it?
Yeah, our street is like full of them. And so I just wait until they start blossoming, and that you go through these streets and it's like literally going through a canopy. it's amazing. So I started doing a lot of drawing of the cherry blossoms, and then I'll add flying birds, sometimes butterflies. They're all in flight, so there's some motion to it. And then I started doing other mediums like canvas. I don't do a whole lot of canvas, but I think in the future I will be. My biggest thing right now are hummingbirds. And I'm also getting ready to do a pollinators calendar. And I also sell prints and things of the insects. So I've got a ladybug. I've got a butterfly. My bee was the biggest thing because it looks so realistic. So anyway, there'll be a calendar coming out in 2022,
I hope. Fantastic. That's your plan. And hopefully you'll post details of that on your Twitter page that everyone can follow. Now, Wendy, we always give our guests the opportunity to give a shout out to a few organizations or non-profit charitable organizations that are perhaps meaningful to you and meaningful for Samira. Are there any in particular you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, so I definitely would love to give a shout out to Cardinal Cushing Centers, where Samira is, just because they are doing such an amazing job. She went in a year and a half ago in really a traumatic way, because she was so mad at me when I took my mother in, and she has blossomed. And the other one is Gigi's Playhouse, which is also, do you know who they are?
I don't. Tell us more.
I don't know too much about them, except it's someone that has a child with Down syndrome, and they're out of New York. And I actually donate to them. Okay. And Doctors Without Borders, which is an amazing organization, which I'm sure everybody on here must know something about.
Absolutely.
That organization is just amazing. And they take care of people. It doesn't matter what the problem is. They just take care of people. And I have a doctor friend that actually works for them. And there are no human words that you can express that to people that do things like that. There are just no words.
Absolutely. Well, some wonderful organizations there, Wendy. It's been so lovely to have you on. It really has. And for you to tell us more about Samira and you know, what she gets up to. And I know I speak for so many people that we love the updates on Twitter as well. So keep them coming. And also yourself as well, because it's a difficult, challenging time for all of us and you as well. So great to have you on. Keep well, keep safe, keep painting. And please tell Samira to keep painting and posting and tweeting, because she is a truly inspirational young woman, as are you, Wendy. And I know that you're giving a lot of hope and courage to a lot of people. So, Wendy Tobin, thanks ever so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.